anybody that has ever had anything to do with people in a public way will know that when people come together in a crowd, they act more like children than they do like men. I'm not sure whether everyone would realize that, but anybody who has had any kind of leadership in public and really wants to get his ideas across knows that this is true. It's the strangest thing. When people come together in a company, a group of them, you can't approach them the way you could privately. You can get a man off here privately by himself and you can talk to him and he'll act his age. He'll be just like he is. But get him into a crowd and he always acts more immature. He always acts with less responsibility than he did before. As a matter of fact, I have, as you know, been active in dealing with the public from the standpoint of preaching the gospel for a good long time. And I'm very much impressed by the fact that I have heard people who have studied this a good deal say that if you're getting up to speak to an average congregation, you should keep in mind that the people sitting in front of you just about are equal to the average 12-year-old person. That's about what would be true about a crowd of folks when they're gathered together. And I know some folks might take offense at that and just say, oh, that couldn't possibly be true. I'm just repeating to you what someone has said. Maybe you want to watch it for yourself. I know another thing, by the way. Have you ever noticed how often it is true that if you're in with a crowd of people and a man gets up in front of you and makes an announcement, if he says it only one time, you can hardly ever remember what he said? Do you know what one finds out is generally necessary to do if you're making the simplest kind of an announcement by way of giving instructions? I would say from my experience that if you're getting up before a group of people, mind you, not uninterested people either, but people who are, generally speaking, average crowd of people, you should say a thing three times if you want them to know what you said. If you were going to say that you were going to sing hymn number 146, the first and the third and the fifth verses, I would recommend that you say that three times. They heard it the first time, and yet they didn't hear it. It's just because people are like that. The same is true with reference to their conduct. In this way, you will find that when you get in with people in a group, prejudices will come to your mind, and you will be thinking things that privately, when you were alone, you'd be ashamed to think. But when you get in with the crowd, it seems just the thing to do. And certainly in this early church experience, when we see the Apostle Paul dealing with these various crowds that he was dealing with, and especially these mobs, the only way to account for the foolish things that the people would do is right along this very line. We have been studying in chapter 22 in the book of Acts. We have been studying Paul's experience in Jerusalem. And we have seen that there was a big crowd, a mob, gathered up against him on a false basis. They had been told things that weren't true. Things that had been insinuated against Paul that weren't true. But the people took them up, and because they did, they had beat Paul as if they were going to kill him. And the Roman soldiers had come in and rescued him. Then, when he had asked for the privilege of talking to the crowd, they gave it to him. And so he got up in chapter 22 and was talking to the people, telling them how God had dealt with him. And all through his personal testimony, the people listened patiently and quietly. When he got through with that, and his personal testimony included second dealing with the Lord himself, and the Lord told him what he should do, they listened to that without any particular arousing, any particular feeling about it. But down in verse 21, we find that he reported that the Lord Jesus told him to leave Jerusalem, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Verse 22 we read, they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, which is actually rioting, and they were just rioting in all confusion, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. That is, the police chief commanded that Paul should be brought into the city hall, into the courthouse, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. This examined by scourging is something that we don't know anything about. It was a custom in the courts in the old time. It was a custom for them when they had a man before them that was accused of anything, they would give him a beating to get him to tell the truth. Nowadays, they might probably want to give him truth serum to see whether he would tell the truth. But in that day and time, they beat him so badly, I don't know to say that they'd beat him half unconscious, but they would just beat him so badly that they would break down his spirit and make him feel real badly, and he'd just tell the truth because he'd be hurting so badly, he wouldn't want to do anything else. And so they were going to do this. They were going to examine him by scourging. This seems to us a very crude way, a very cruel, and also a very blind way of doing things. The man might be innocent. They'd figure, well, if he's innocent, he'll be innocent when they get through beating him. And if he isn't innocent and he is guilty and they beat him, he may even tell the truth. So as they bound him with thongs, they tied him down, tied him there to beat him, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, said to the officer that was there, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Bringing up a point of law. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Now you see, the Roman citizens were free from that kind of thing. Now you could do that with the people who weren't Romans, the people who were Jews and were members of the of other nations. You could do it with them, but the law prohibited doing this with a Roman. You couldn't treat him this way. And when they were going to beat him, Paul said, "Is it lawful for you to whip a man that's a Roman and uncondemned? I haven't been tried yet." When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came, that is the chief of the police, and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom," meaning to say, "I am a Roman too, but it cost me. I had to pay for it." In those days, for a man to become a Roman citizen, he would have to pay a fee, as it were, very much like we'd pay an initiation fee. You had to give a certain sum of money in order to be counted as a Roman citizen. And he said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "I was free-born." But here was another interesting thing. If your father was a Roman, you were a Roman. So that the family sort of came up on that level. And this brings out an interesting fact that Paul was born of Jewish parents, it's true, but they were Roman citizens. And Paul said, "I was free-born," which means he was better off than the centurion was, because he was an older Roman than that. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, which is a rather cumbersome way of saying that the people who were coming to beat him to get the truth out of him, they went away. And the chief captain also was afraid, the chief of police, after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have arrested him and treated him that way, being a Roman. And on the morrow, because he would know the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. This Roman officer, wanting to find out what all this uproar was about after all, decided to do it like this. He requested that the Jews would bring down their council, their head men, and down into the court, and right in the presence of the chief captain, the chief of police, the Roman officer, right in his presence, try Paul for the accusation that they had against him. Now, in all of this, you notice one thing comes out to me, and that is that Paul brought up the fact he was a Roman citizen. Why did he do that? To escape a whipping. Do you think that's because he was a coward? Do you think that when he was here trying to escape from being whipped, that this was any sign that he was unwilling to suffer for Christ's sake? Do you think that this is any sign that he was weak? Or shall we have another reason for it? I'm going to propose this to you, that no matter how ready you may be to suffer for Christ's sake, no matter how ready you may be to endure anything in your testimony for the Lord, that doesn't make sense, it is not wise to suffer uselessly. If you recognize that people are on the point of mistreating you, instead of letting them go ahead and mistreat you, why not, if you have anything to say that would put you in a better light, why not say it? Why not bring out the truth of the situation, which would enable you to escape the suffering that there could be if they were right about you, that kind of thing. And that's what Paul did. And again, I want to say just in passing, you know, some of us are inclined to be like this. We're inclined to think that, well, if I'm suffering for Christ's sake, and if I have this trouble is going to come on me because I'm a Christian, I'll just endure it. Because after all, I'll just do this for Christ's sake. And actually, the truth seems to be that there's no particular reason why you should suffer unnecessarily. If you can get out of trouble, get out of trouble. If by talking you can help people see things differently, then you talk. In this case, Paul had done it. And by the way, you will have noticed up till now that Paul has done this in three different ways. If you will remember, when the officer first arrested him, you will recall that he spoke Greek. And he said, "May I speak to you?" And he said, "Can you speak Greek?" And then he said, "Yes, I was brought up in a Greek city, an important city." And then when he turned around to speak to the Jewish people, he spoke Hebrew. And when they heard him speaking Hebrew, they kept quiet. And now when they're about to beat him again, he says, "I'm a Roman." And he was a Roman. In all of this, you see Paul using various different ways in which to escape, as far as possible, the unnecessary suffering that violent people would have brought upon him. And I think that's a principle you and I might keep in mind. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in all that we do to be faithful to Thee, but give us wisdom so that we may, as far as possible, escape the suffering and the difficulties that are unnecessary. Give us wisdom as we deal with people so that we can get along with them as much as possible. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.